Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Laura Canfield Show, the Create Your Life series. And today we're talking about the gift of choice with my friend Andrea Beluso. And it's interesting how I met Andrea. He is a photographer and probably much more than that. But I met him last November or December. Time goes by so fast, I just lose track. In Copenhagen, I was at a class at an event, and I was participating in doing an interview. You know, that they asked me questions and I answered, and it was like, it was so easy and so much fun. And I have to tell you, that whole team, the House of Beluso team, oh, they're so sweet, so professional, so easy to work with. And you know, it helps that, well, not it helps or not, but Andrea has a really interesting personality, very magnetic, sexy. It's like there's just something about Andrea's presence. It's like, oh wow, I can like talk to you for hours. So a couple months later, I asked Andrea, you know, do you want to be on my show? It's like, sure. So Andrea, this is the first time that you're on the show with us. So yes. I could read the bio, which is on the live page or in the email that I just sent out again. But you know, if you could share with me a little bit about who you are, what you do, you know, as a career, but really how you create your life.
Yeah, well, basically, thank you very much, first of all, for having me on the show. It's really great fun to be here, and it was great fun meeting you, and it's amazing to be here and talk about choice and creating our lives through choice. So basically, about who I am, very good question. I have been taking pictures. I've been a photographer, professional photographer, for 40 years this year, and started in London, and I've started to write a book now, which Amanda, my wife, has been pushing for, and it's my biography. Mm-hmm. And first I was going like, okay, why should I write a biography? You know, and Amanda was saying, well, you know, you should really write a biography because to share how you've been creating your life and how you've been really choosing things from very, very early age. And so that felt really light into actually sharing my life, not as a biography in terms of talking about my past or my reference points or whatever, none of that, but really talking about how I've been really choosing how to create my life within photography and everything else in my life. And in terms of my career, what I do is, you know, I've started off by taking fashion and beauty pictures on a commercial level. So I've been working with a lot of, you know, very big companies and big models and whatever. And I'm still doing that, but I'm doing much, much more than that. Now, as you mentioned, we started this company called House of Beluso last year. And what we do is really to share with everybody what we do, how we create our life, and what else is possible in everybody else's life, not just photographers, but everybody. Mm-hmm. And what we do with House Beluso basically is based on photography, based on lighting, but that is for two reasons. One is because I'm a photographer, because there's a lot of people, other photographers that are following me. But the other main reason is because through light and through photography, you can really access so many tools that can really empower you to create your life through choice. And, you know, with light, there is actually a video that is on our YouTube channel, and the video is called What is Light? And it's only a short video. It's like 3 minutes long, I think. And basically, in that video, I talk about how when you change your point of view with a camera, you change the reality of your picture.
Right.
And I think that might actually apply for the rest of our lives.
Absolutely. You know, it's about your point of view, your perspective, how you're looking at life, and through which lens sometimes, you know?
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. See, I can bring
in there is choice. Even there is choice.
Yes, exactly. So one of the things, or two of the things that really stuck out right now that you're talking about was you've been doing photography for 40 years. So you must have started when you were a baby.
Well, I was 16, so I'm turning 56 this year. So there you go.
Wow, that's early. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
My son is 24 and he's not doing anything fun like that.
Well, do not judge him for that and give him time. Give him time and allow him for his choices. And the thing when I was 16 is that I was really, really tired with school, and that was really not working for me. And my father saw this quite early on. And it's actually, you know, really thanks to him that I started when I started, because he actually allowed me to jump off school. And he was the one that introduced me to Bardo Fabiani, which was the first photographer that I actually started assisting. Mm-hmm. And so I was assisting, you know, for free for 3 years, not earning anything through photography, but learning a lot. Not just about photography, but about life and really finding out those things that work for me, my life. I was just having a chat about this with Amanda the other day about how little Bardo Fabiani actually taught me about photography. And in fact, the first thing that he told me on the first day that I started working for him was, I'm not going to teach you anything. And I was a little bit like, wow. You know, big beyond, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
and he said, you know, photography is about seeing, and I cannot be inside your head. I cannot be behind your eyes. So you have to learn how to see. And it's not just looking, it's really seeing. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference in that. But what he was teaching me was a lot about, you know, choosing the right types of champagne and choosing caviar. And I know exactly which caviar I like. And, you know, choosing all these things that are a part of my life today and make me choose my life on those things that are important for me, basically.
And choosing greater for you.
Exactly. And it's not based on these tiny little things like champagne and caviar. It's not that. That is just a reflection on the lifestyle and the quality of life that I choose to create.
Yes. Well, you know, and that's the thing, you're choosing to create. And so one of the things you mentioned also was about you writing this book about choice and choosing. I'm writing the same book. Yay! On all the choices that I've made and how I've made those choices and what has transpired. And so, you know, this show, this series is about the gift of choice. And what is the gift of choice other than, well, for me, it's about creating your life. Right?
Yes.
The gift of choice is you choose and you create your life, and you choose again and you choose again and you choose again.
Exactly.
And so as you're choosing, new awarenesses are coming up, right? New experiences. Exactly. You're seeing more, you're learning more about yourself and about life in general and about people and everything else, right?
Exactly.
So before I forget, so if anybody has a question, you can raise your hand. Or you can unmute yourself and ask a question, or you can chat in the chat box. You can post a question there. And I just want to share really quickly before I put lipstick on my mug.
Beautiful.
Look at this cute mug I found. But, you know, it's got the dandelions, which is, you know, like one of the symbols for access consciousness. Yeah, right. Anyways, you know, lighting is like, there we go. So I wanted to share that.
Beautiful.
It's like, hey. I don't know how it was like a fluke that I found in this really weird spot. Anyways, but again, it was a choice that made me pick up the mug, buy it, and bring it home. Right? And the choice in that is that, oh, this is a symbol or a reflection of a part of my life.
Yeah. Right?
And I'm choosing to use that more and more in my life. And sometimes it's a subtle reminder, you know, of what's important to me. And having those things in my space. So you're talking about champagne and caviar.
Yeah.
We drink a lot of champagne, and I don't know if I've ever had caviar, to be honest, but...
Oh, you should try it. You would love it.
I've been drinking so much Prosecco, which I really love.
Mm-hmm.
Which before like 6 months ago or a year ago, I never had really Prosecco. It's like, what the heck is that, you know? But I'm really enjoying it. So whenever I happen to go out, I always order Prosecco. My husband thinks I'm crazy. But it's like, that's what I'll have. I'll have Prosecco.
Yeah.
You know, later on I might switch to something more, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. When you're talking about Prosecco or, you know, expensive habits, whichever they may be, it really is a choice of creating your life that will allow you to have those things whenever you want.
Yeah.
And you know, choice creates awareness. It's not awareness that creates choice. And when you choose, for instance, you know, I'm going to be drinking champagne whenever I want. I want to be able to eat the caviar whenever I want. I want to be able to drive nice sports cars whenever I want. Then that is the first choice, and then or one of the choices you can make. There's a million choices.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make that choice, then you have the awareness of what you actually need to not only create, but actually actualize. so that you can afford those things, you can have those things. And affording those things doesn't necessarily mean, people go into like, oh, but I'm working a 9-to-5 job and I know how much I'm going to be earning until I retire and then I'll die and that's it. And wow, that's a lot of conclusions that keep you stuck in exactly that box. And instead, you know, allow it to show up in a million different ways, however it is. To give an example, when I first moved to Sweden, which was 20, maybe 25 years ago, something like that. About 20 years ago. I didn't have much money because I moved from Italy for a girl and she had a model agency and she wasn't having big problems and whatever with that agency. And she asked me to help her out with the agency. And I had this idea of creating something that would create something much greater in her company and for us and for me and, you know, in general. And I started talking about having her own TV show and all these things. And she went into beyond and saying, you know, this is impossible. Mm-hmm. You can't create this because we don't have any money. And for me, that was not a reality. That was, you know, the opposite of what I had in mind, which was like, this is actually creating huge possibilities. And in fact, our TV show, a tour all over Sweden of at least 20 cities a year, et cetera, et cetera. All these for me were just possible income streams. And in fact, you know, just a few months after that, when my girlfriend at the time told me that I could do this if I wanted, she didn't want to have anything to do with it. I was on, you know, the same beach actually that we're going to next week in Malaysia with 20 models, 10 people film crew of my own for my own TV show that I then sold to 54 different countries. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, through the years, I had this project for 7 years. And earned a lot of money. I had sponsors like BMW, Alfa Romeo, and all these things. So the sports cars, you know, like the Alfa Romeos and all that, I never bought them. They came to me as a form of sponsorship. So wherever you buy, you have to have that money right now in order to be able to afford them. That is a big fat lie in itself. Absolutely. And it's not even a matter of imagination, because a lot of people say like, oh yeah, but you have such a wild imagination, so you can imagine how things can be created. And no, it's just if you are willing to really, you know, ask the universe in, you know, what else is possible, then you can create it.
Without coming to conclusion. And I think that's where a lot of people stop the creation, is they come to conclusion, say it can only happen this way.
Exactly.
And then it doesn't happen because...
Yeah.
Because, you know,
Yeah. And how often do people actually receive what they've asked for, but in another form, and then they get disappointed and they destroy their own creations right there and then and stop receiving it in full?
Wow. That's a. I'm going to wrap my head around that one. What? So I was like, I wonder where I've done that, right? In the past.
Right.
I'm going to say in the past, and now I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, because I've never done that.
But how often have we destroyed our creations before they even get started?
Yes, because as soon as we see a tiny little sign of what we've actually been asking for, and it shows up in a different way, just because we have not visualized it that way, then we're going to look, oh, but this is not what I asked for, and there we destroy it.
Yes.
If we look at when I met Amanda, and the day before I met her, I broke up from a very long relationship. And I was really not in a space of choosing another relationship and absolutely not getting married. That was so far from my universe. But the only thing that I perceived when I met her was that something great was there. And I knew that she could be a great contribution to my life. And I knew that she could be adding something to my life. I didn't know how. Mm-hmm. As I just said, I was not into like, I'm going to have a relationship with her. I'm going to be together with her, or I'm going to be doing whatever with her. I just knew that she was going to be a contribution. And I really allowed it to come however it would show up. The only demand that I had, and this was not a request, but it was actually a demand to the universe, was happiness. Mm-hmm. Because I spent the previous 9 months of total unhappiness. And I just walked out of a couple therapy session with my ex, furiously demanding happiness at any cost whatsoever. It showed up, you know, and I was not judging it. And when I heard myself asking if she wanted to get married, I heard myself saying it, and at the same time I was going like, what the hell are you saying and why? But it still felt super light.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's, you know, that's another one of those creations out of choice, basically.
And that's the thing. When we choose, sometimes we don't know what it is we're exactly choosing. It's just exactly. an energy or a feeling, you know, but it's something that we're choosing. Because when I met my husband, I mean, I didn't know anything, but when I met him and, you know, it was like, okay, I think I'm starting to fall in love with you is what I said to him one day. And I said to him, I was like, which is weird because we haven't even met in person, you know, because it was just online. I was like, this is so weird. But I told him early on, and I said, as long as this relationship is expansive and light and joyful and I'm happy, we'll continue. It's not, I'm out. Because I had just gotten out of a 17-year marriage where I was miserable as fuck, right? So it's like, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. But he never quite understood that, and he didn't really buy that. You know, he's just like, all right. You know, and then I did break up with him one time, and it was like hell for him and for me.
Yeah.
And then we got back together, and all great. But he didn't think I was serious about that. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm choosing happiness. I'm choosing joy. Yeah. I'm choosing ease. I'm choosing to be loved and to love another. You know, I'm not choosing pain and suffering. And so when you make that demand of yourself, then, you know, somehow the universe listens and starts giving you that and showing you that. And now, like, our relationship is like, I always say, how does it get any better than this? I don't know how it can get any better, but I keep asking because I've been told,
absolutely,
don't stop asking that, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's like, how lucky am I that I chose that?
Absolutely. I mean, the amount of judgments that I get about that, you know, whenever I post pictures of Amanda and I just write, you know, how does it get any better than this? So often I get comments like, stop asking that. You have such a wonderful relationship. You're such a spoiled brat. You know, it does not get any better than this. And oh my God, seriously, people, what's going on?
because they're stuck in their conclusions, you know,
totally,
of what a relationship is.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt here, Lara, but something came up. When people are actually having a good life and a good time or whatever, they are so scared of destroying that, and they want to limit it and really saying it doesn't get any better than this instead of how does it get any better than this. And they don't realize that by saying and putting out the energy of it doesn't get any better than this, that's exactly what they're creating.
And they're cutting it off. They're cutting it off and destroying it totally.
Yeah. Because saying it doesn't get any better than this is actually saying it's only going to get worse from here.
Oh. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for me. So I'm good.
But that's a choice and a creation as well.
It is. Right? And that's the thing. Everything is a choice. So
yes,
all of you who are here on the call today, that's a choice that you made to be here. And I thank you. I'm so grateful.
Thank you so much.
And all the, and because you could be doing so many other different things, you know, I totally get that. So I appreciate that. But everything is a choice. You waking up in the morning is a choice. You going to work, doing anything, talking to friends, family, whatever, is a choice. And so, you know, I always say choose what makes you happy. Choose what makes you, you know, like I have a few different, like, you know, a few choice priorities for me. You know, it's like, I want ease in my life. That's my number one thing, ease in my life.
Yeah.
And joy and happiness and connection and fun. You know, it's like, so when I'm doing things, it's like, oh, okay, is this fun? Yes, cool, let's do it. And then sometimes when like my day's funky and I'm like, nothing's happening. All right, universe, what would be fun for me today?
Yeah.
Right? And asking for that to show up even.
Exactly. And just say, universe, show me something greater.
Universe, show me something greater. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so here's a question from Caroline. Sometimes I wake up off, irritated, and don't want to get out of bed, but I choose to go to work because not going is not a choice I want to choose, but it doesn't necessarily make me happy. Help.
Well, first of all, there is a choice of not getting out of bed as well. That is also a choice. And the thing to do is actually to ask what will create the most. So will stay in bed create the most in this particular situation? In some cases, it actually could. Mm-hmm. Just to give you an example, from this reality, because we have to use this reality to our advantage. So let's assume that you have a really crappy job surrounded by horrible people, and you don't even earn enough money for doing what you do. So maybe staying in bed would actually create more, because maybe you will get kicked out of that job, which would be your way of actually choosing something different. They'll actually push your ass into choosing something greater. Just saying.
Absolutely. And sometimes that's what it takes. You know?
Sometimes that's what it takes.
For us to choose.
Exactly.
And you could also ask Caroline and everybody else, when you wake up off in the morning, who does that belong to? Is that yours or somebody else's?
Exactly.
Right? And then return to sender with consciousness attached. Or, you know, if you're not into access, you can just say with healing, with blessings, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And let it go, right?
One question to Caroline. Mm-hmm. Is it that you're off as soon as you open your eyes, as soon as you wake up, or do you get off even a couple of seconds after you wake up? Because the thing is that you get off after having woken up, and you actually woke up kind of okay, and all of a sudden, even 2 seconds after you woke up, you get off, it could actually be that maybe your next door neighbor is feeling kind of off and you're picking that up.
And you know, you're very sensitive, Caroline, and very empathic, and you pick up a lot.
Yeah.
Anyways, right?
There you go.
And when you ask, is it yours? And you get that, you know, it is mine. You say, okay, where have I bought that as mine?
Exactly.
Because it didn't come from you, right? As an infinite being, you're not going to be off.
Exactly. So. We come basically as infinite beings. We create our sweet little bodies in order to really, truly enjoy this world. Because without this body, we would not be able to enjoy it in the same way that we can with our bodies. So we really create, you know, the five senses. When we say I feel, it's actually our body that feels. And we create our body to feel this world. And our body is basically our hover to explore this earth, you know, to taste good food or good wines and to see beautiful things and to feel beautiful things on our skin and all these things and to smell beautiful perfumes or whatever it is. So our body is a really made for us to enjoy this world. They're not made to endure pain and suffering, far from it. And whenever we bought there our mind that makes us feel funky, or as you know, whenever we buy that big lie that our mind is us, mm-hmm. Well, let's think again.
Our mind is a tool.
Our brain is a tool. The mind is a construct of whatever we have been buying since the moment we're born. So the brain is a beautiful tool that that can help us create a lot in this world, and that will it will help us in case we are trying to do something stupid to our bodies. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. If we see a beautiful landscape from a mountain and we go like, wow, I really want to fly in this landscape. It happens to me a lot of the time because I love flying. But hadn't I had a brain, my body would not be here right now because I would have jumped off a lot of cliffs by now.
Right.
So the brain actually comes in there and says, no, wait, don't do this. This is kind of stupid for the body. Mm-hmm. And you don't do it. But the mind is where we go into... to give you an example, we were talking about photography before, Alara, where we go into like, I don't look good in pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That is our mind, because we have bought how we should look like in pictures, what we should look like as people, and what everybody else's projections and points of views are on what people should look like in pictures. So that's the construct of the mind, and it's a point of view. The mind is basically constructed only on points of view.
And I always forget that part. You know, it's like, yeah, everything that we're seeing is a construct. It's created by the mind. It's not really real. If we, as infinite beings, we're just energy, right?
So
what we're seeing is the construct of the mind as well as the projections from everybody else and anything.
Exactly. That we buy as ours, mostly.
That we buy, yeah.
Yeah. And when we go into, like, people's judgments, which has a lot to do with this, it's, you know, we tend to dismiss or try to dismiss negative judgments, but it's also the positive judgments that stick us, because we have to live up to those, and those become limitations in themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And so, and then, and that's a, it's both. It's interesting how, you know, the positive judgment. So if somebody says, "Oh my God, you're so beautiful," and people have said that to me, and I'm like, "No, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't see that at all." You know, and then other people have said other things which are not nice, which are not worth repeating. But we take that on as real, as true, even though really I'm none of that. You know.
Well, you are and you're not. I'll give an example with what I'm saying. if somebody tells you you're beautiful. It can be said, the same thing can be said with two different energies. If somebody says you're beautiful and that is said as a judgment, then it's a judgment. But you're beautiful can also be an acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're truly beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Because there's nothing behind that. There's no hidden agenda behind that person saying that. So very often when something is said without any hidden agendas and just an acknowledgement, it's just an acknowledgement.
Right.
Whereas if somebody says, hey, you're beautiful, and there's a hidden agenda there somewhere because they want something from you or whatever, mm-hmm. then it's a judgment. And that sticks us.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I wonder how many places, you know, we have been sticking ourselves because of other people's judgments, agendas, projections.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
And none of that is real.
No, none of that is real. If we look at, you know, from what we bought from when we were kids, even from our parents, and they did it out of kindness, mm-hmm. you know, you're such a good boy, you're such a good girl or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they did it out of, you know, goodwill, trying to, wanting more for us and wanting us to create more and whatever. But it's still a judgment that we had to live up to.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And so, oh my goodness. So I was like, ugh. So I don't actually say that to my kids. You're such a good, well, maybe sometimes. Oops. But I know for myself, you know, when it comes to kids, because you only want the best for them. I mean, let's be honest. You want the best for them.
Of course. You want them
to have ease. You want them to have the best of everything that life has to offer.
Yes.
And then whatever they choose, it's up to them. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's how I've been raising my kids is like, you know what? I love you more than anything. And I want you to do whatever it is that you want to do and choose whatever it is that you want to choose and have fun and really enjoy life and living. And, you know, all I can give you is, you know, all this love that I have for you, it's totally unconditional. And if you ever need me for anything, if you ever have a question, call me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you have your own life, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I have a kid as well, and he's 15 now. And when we travel, you know, he's with his mom here in Stockholm. And when we're home, he's with us. But we tend to give him we always give him a space of choice. And gratitude. I mean, I'm incredibly grateful for him, and I trust him to choose whatever is best for him mm-hmm. and what works for him. And I was having a chat with his mom not so long ago, and she said, "Oh, but he can't do that because he's not 18 yet. When he's 18, then he can choose for himself." And I was like, "Wow, that's a very interesting point of view." You know, diminishing him to something that he's not mm-hmm. Just because he's not 18, he's only, you know, he's still 15, that he can't choose for himself and that he can't make a right choice. Wow, that is extremely interesting.
And it's not even about the right choice. It's about whatever the choice happens to be. And, you know, I always told my kids, well, it's your choice, whatever it is, but know what the consequences are of some of your choices or what you know, the repercussions are of some of your choices.
Yeah.
Just be aware, you know.
Yeah.
And then choose.
Exactly.
Because me growing up, and this, you know, Caroline, you might relate to a little bit. Me growing up, I didn't have choice at all until I was 40. I had no choice. My parents were and family were always in my life and face and blah, blah, blah. So I had no choice. And when I left the government, I had a government job. I hated it, to be honest. And it was just, you know, so negative and blah, 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 all that wonderful stuff. And I had the pension and everything. But I did get paid really good money for what I did. So I was like, all right, I do get paid a lot of money, good money for what I do, but I hate it and I cannot do this for the next 20 years. something else has to show up. What else is possible, right? Yeah. And I was talking to the universe. Universe, I can't do this. There's no way I can do this for the next 20 years. Help me. Show me. What, you know, what else can I do? What else would be fun for me? You know, and luckily I got out. And since then, you know, I've been choosing my life, choosing what works for me, choosing what's going to create greater. And sometimes I mess up. I'll be honest. Sometimes I make like not the greatest choices. It's like, okay, you know, I'll choose again.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes we make interesting choices. There's never a bad choice or a wrong choice. There's interesting choices. And as we said before, you know, choice creates awareness. And if we make a choice that is an interesting choice that doesn't really work for us, well, it creates awareness that that particular thing does not work for us. So we can choose again. And during a shoot a couple of months ago, I actually realized something, that choice is actually a constant in our lives. And when I take pictures and I invite people in front of my camera to actually choose different energies to play with in front of the camera, I realize that that choice of different energies and different spaces is a millisecond. Because I have, for instance, a flash that where the actual flash duration, which is when the flash is actually lit, one of them is an 80,000th of a second. I can't even perceive that length of time. It's really a fraction, a millifraction of a second. And we can choose in those spaces, whenever the flash is on and off, and it's super fast, we can choose different energies. So we can really change our energy every millisecond. It's not even a 10-second increment. It's a millisecond increment. So if something doesn't work, it's really just a choice. And just answering here, Caroline in the chat again, that she says, I don't feel that I have a choice. Well, yes, you do. You have choices all the time, every single time. It's just to do something different. And Caroline was also saying that hearing my thoughts, work, retire, and be bored to death. Well, bored to death, well, maybe you're not putting enough things in your life. And maybe you're just satisfied, and you're going to jump down my throat now, I know. You're going to hate me for this. But maybe you're just, you know, you're just enjoying this space because it's comfortable, because you know it. And although you complain about it, and you say that you're bored, you're not willing to choose something else. So what other things could you choose in your life that would stop you being bored, that would allow you to choose different and allow you to choose greater? We always, always, always have choices. And always be in the question, not be in the conclusion of, I am bored. If you say you're bored, guess what? You're going to carry on being bored. I didn't quite understand if you're retired from work or if you're going to retire, but whichever it is, wherever you bought that work has to be something that you actually do, that you do not enjoy, and that they pay you to not enjoy whatever you're doing in order for you to pay your bills. Can we please destroy and create that?
Yes.
I don't know, that popcorn actually doesn't be on.
And I think that's where people get stuck. It's like, okay, I can't choose because I won't have money, you know. So it's like I'm stuck in this choice because this brings me money, this pays my rent, blah blah blah, right?
Well, exactly. And everywhere we bought that, we actually have to have somebody else giving us money to do something that we hate, instead of us creating something that will generate money in other ways. And maybe instead of one main income stream to pay all our bills, we can create several smaller income streams that in the total actually give us a hell of a lot more than that solid and horrible income stream. Can we destroy and create it?
Yes.
Well,
what would it take for that to show up?
Exactly.
Yes. I was just going to say just really quickly to that too, was, you know, when I was with my ex-husband, I resented him. I resented the fact that he was working at a job he loved. And I was working at a job I hated, but I was the major breadwinner, right? And he wasn't. So I felt like I had no choice because I had to pay the bills. I had to, you know, do all that stuff. And I resented him for, because I was not happy. I was not having fun. Why can't I have a job that, you know, is fun for me, right? Oh, it's awful. And, you know, even now it's like, oh my God, I was such a bitch. But that is what I was going through, because I was, you know, I wanted to have fun. I wanted ease. I wanted to do something that was fun for me and generate money and not be my hands were tied, you know. And so, Caroline, you might be going through that as well, perhaps, you know. And so that's why you feel like you're stuck in that job, blah, 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 right? But it was like, once I chose, once I got to that point where it's like, you know what? No, I can't do this anymore. Forget it. You know, then everything shifted and changing, and look at my life now. It's like 360 degrees different.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And whenever you choose something different, whenever you jump off the cliff, and fly, there's a beautiful thing that Amanda actually wrote, and I really, really encourage you to read it. It's on her Facebook profile. She posted it today, and it's amazing. It's really about, I can't quote it word by word, but it was amazing because she wrote about being scared jumping off the cliff when you actually know that you can fly. Mm-hmm. And it is scary. Yes, it's scary.
Yeah.
But if you actually dare to jump, then what else can you create that is amazing you can't even imagine today? I mean, when we jumped off the cliff with House of the Loser, we were doing, Victor and Amanda basically shut down their company from one day to the next. Mm-hmm. And it was a big company. I jumped off from a company that was paying me very, very good money every month, but I could have stayed in that company for until I retire in this mm-hmm. reality, and I never will retire, because I could have, you know, changed my position and whatever and carried on and earning very good money. That did not work for me, and it does not work for me. I want to choose something greater. I want to create something greater. And we started this thing where in this reality, it would not work, because to travel how we do, yeah, how are we going to get finance for that? Mm-hmm. How are we going to, you know, afford traveling business class all over the world and holding classes or attending classes mm-hmm. in most cases? I mean, if we look at what the trip that we just come from, we had we attended two classes. We attended COP in Vancouver and the foundation in Houston. Mm-hmm. And Victor and Amanda were working in those classes. I wasn't. I was, you know, paying full price and attending class. Mm-hmm. As a good boy. Nice. So if we went into this reality saying, wow, you know, let's look at the budget and how much are we earning, how much are we spending, then the costs are much, much higher mm-hmm. than the income. But we created two evening classes. Okay, still the two evening classes didn't cover all our costs. We had a lot of private photo sessions. Mm-hmm. We were fully booked. So yeah, that's paid our expenses, and the two evening classes actually created products for our website that will generate in the future more income. So it's going to be spread out in different ways, and we don't go into the logic of, oh, this has to cover that and has to cover that. No, let's just put it out there. What do we want to create? And every time we make choices like that, following our awareness of what feels really light and fun for us, then so much more is created, even in terms of, you know, connecting with people such as you, you mm-hmm. know, in this call tonight. And every trip that we choose, everything that we choose, there is at least a connection with somebody that will create something greater, or a shoot that will create something greater, or something that will create something greater. Yeah. So if you don't choose, if you choose not to choose, which is a choice in itself, by the way, it's a choice not to create. But if you choose to create and to choose something else that will change whatever it is that you're feeling stuck in, that in itself will create a lot more. So
exactly. Choose greater, and always be in the question instead of the conclusion. So whenever I've actually made choices that were funky and interesting, it was because I went into conclusion. I was concluding it has to be like this. Oh, that doesn't quite work. You know, but it's about asking the question of what will create more, what will be fun for you, whatever that, you know, word is for you. You know, what's light for you, what's expansive for you.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean go to the answer. It's like ask the question and then wait for the awareness. Sometimes there's a pregnant pause, and you know, and just wait for the awareness of what comes to you, and you'll be surprised.
Yeah.
At what comes. And then when it comes, say yes.
Absolutely. The thing that we go into with our minds very often is also the separation between us and the world and the earth and everybody else. Mm-hmm. In fact, we are all completely connected. So since we are completely connected, and we know this energetically, since we are completely connected, how much can other people that we don't even imagine, how much can those people contribute to our lives in much greater ways without going into conclusions of, you know, oh, this person has a lot of money, so this person can contribute to my life because they can feed me. No. Mm-hmm. How much greater can we create, even in terms of awareness, even in terms of showing us different choices and possibilities that maybe we're blind to? So really be in the question all the time and asking for more. And I had a very interesting conversation with Victor in Vancouver the other day on how interesting it is that a lot of the big choices that I made in my life were made out of came from a point where I really had enough of a situation. Mm-hmm. Like what I mentioned before, you know, the choice for happiness the day before I met Amanda came from 9 months of suffering, self-inflicted suffering, basically, when I could have actually chosen something different years before, mm-hmm. in that previous relationship. But I let myself go to the point where I could not take anymore, where I was actually pissed off with myself, pissed off with my ex, pissed off with the whole situation, pissed off with the world, and saying, enough. Now I want something different. And I was, okay, so what do I want? Oh, shit, I just want to be happy. That's all. I don't care what it costs. I don't care how it shows up. I just really choose to be happy. And that choice, or rather that demand.
Demand, yeah.
That demand created something that I could not imagine 24 hours before that demand. So what will it take for us to actually be able to make choices in total ease without having to go into the furious demand created by some interesting choices that we made?
Yeah. And everything that doesn't allow that, will you all destroy and create it all?
Right, wrong, good, bapa, pokonesius, pleasant beyond.
Oh, thank you. And we have a question from Karen. Karen, you want to unmute yourself, or I can unmute you? I will unmute
you. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
There you are.
Hi. Thank you. So my question is, 2 weeks ago, my mother got kicked off hospice. I was in trauma and drama, and now it's like the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Whoa. It totally changed my point of view, because I asked my brother and my sister for help. Because I now needed more help, and they both said they could not do anything, and that made me realize it's like, hey, I am in this alone. So now I'm gonna just pay myself more money because my mother has some money, you know. So that just made everything better. But now I have to deal with my husband because he wants me to put my mother into a nursing home, and also my brother and my sister are ready for my mom to die. And all of a sudden I realize, hey, the longer she lives, the more I can get paid. So my point of view has all changed, and my choices are different now. But how do I deal with the people that are like,
you
still
see
have that
lighter.
Stuck point of view? Mm. What's that, Laura?
You seem much lighter now, much more energized too.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can't believe that trauma could be this great 2 weeks later.
Well, Karen, how much can you manipulate those people that are actually stopping you from this choice? And don't go into the judgment of manipulation either.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How would that look like?
I don't know, and don't try and go there either.
Yeah, don't go into figuring it out, but no. What would it take for you to manipulate them to have the situation work in your favor, right? And just leave it at that. Like, what would it take?
I mean, also you can ask for clarity in what your husband truly wants out of the situation. I'll give you an example. There was with my ex-wife, there was a situation where, you know, she was going into a lot of things with me being a bad father and whatever, and I already perceived that a few years ago as her wanting money. But I went there as a confrontation thing, saying like, okay, so how much you want, kind of thing. And at that point, she perceived the confrontation, and she made it more of a point and solidifying it more that she didn't want money and whatever. Whereas when, you know, Amanda came in, she said, hey, it's quite obvious that she does want money. So let's just go with another energy into how can we actually change this and manipulate and use this to our advantage and get rid of her point of views. So just ask with barriers down, though, with barriers totally down. So how much is it that you want? And there, the figure that she came with was less than half than what I had proposed a couple of years before, and she denied. So she actually came up with a figure that was much lower than what I'd projected at her when I had my barriers up.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So are you still married? Your husband living with you? Yeah, you and your husband, yes.
Yeah, over 30 years, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, if you're getting money for taking care of your mom, which is what I understood, right?
Yes.
Well, that's going to benefit your husband too, I guess, in some way.
Yes, it does.
So how much can you manipulate that situation to his advantage and your advantage?
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, use this reality to your advantage. Try and see those points that your husband could be going for. I don't know, hobbies or whatever that maybe are beyonds for him. I can't afford doing this. I would love to do this, but I can't afford it. And without your barriers up, without going into conclusions of how it would look like, and without even putting it in this context, really manipulate and go, hey, you've been talking about, I don't know, that fishing trip or that whatever. Hey, that you could actually do that, you know?
Okay.
That's it.
That's great.
Yeah.
So use the system to your advantage, Karen. We talked about that on one of the other calls. Remember with Glenna, I talked about using the system to your advantage, manipulate the system.
Yeah.
So in this instance, it's your marriage, your relationship with your husband is the system. Use that to your advantage so that he gets what he wants, you get what you want, and yes, all is good.
And it's not a matter of compromise either. There's no compromises. Compromises are yucky. Compromise is always somebody. Compromise means somebody in the relationship having to cut off bits of themselves.
And yeah, they lose something. Yeah.
That does not work.
I don't compromise. I'm spoiled, so what can I say?
Well, you should be. You should never compromise.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Right.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
And then we had a question from Jesse in the Q&A. I'm too slow to catch my thoughts. Not bored, but never get things done to get time to do what I want. Also find it hard to even know what I do want. I have lots of ideas for projects, but it's like there's a block to even asking daily what I do want.
Hmm. Well, don't ask what you want. Just do what you want. And if you go into the beyond of, I have too many things to do, well, is that yours or is this somebody else's in this reality? In this reality, people think that they can't do too much or they will, go into the wall and all these things. And my best friend until a year and a half, 2 years ago, kept on telling me, God, you have so many things in your plate. You have to slow down. You're going to go under and blah, blah, blah. And what are all of these things that you're doing? They're so different from each other. So focus on one thing, focus. And everybody in this reality tells us to focus on something.
Mm-hmm. And do one thing at a time.
And that's exactly what does not work for any of us on this call, I think. So the more things we have on our plate, the better. And I have a billion ideas every single day. Sure, some ideas are not for now. Some ideas are just fun ideas. And I gladly let them go. They're fun to look at, but I let them go to somebody else. And other ideas I actualize. And other ideas I ask, okay, so truth, is it for now or for the future? Or maybe it's an idea from the past that's coming back. So you don't need to actualize all the ideas. You actualize what you desire to create. And also, not knowing what you want, if you have so many ideas, that's a lie. Ideas are basically based on what you desire.
And also, I was just going to ask, sometimes those ideas may not even be yours, some of them that come up. So ask, is this mine or is this somebody else's?
Yeah, the funny thing about ideas, I really recommend reading a book that is absolutely amazing. It's called Big Magic. And it's written by the author of Eat, Pray, Love.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Magic is basically her way to talk to us about how she deals with ideas as an author. And it's brilliant because she really writes that ideas are entities of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's basically like Elizabeth Gilbert. Thank you very much. That's her. And Elizabeth Gilbert actually treats them as, you know, different beings that mm-hmm. come to her and say, hey, do you want to play? And it's up to us to choose to play with them or not. And when we choose not to play with them, very often we will see that these ideas are actually actualized by somebody else. So they go to somebody else, knock on their door, and this person chooses to play with them, and then it gets actualized.
Yeah. It happens to me all the time. I get this idea, and then it's like, I don't do anything with it. And a couple of months later, I see it being actualized by somebody else. Like, oh, wow.
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. And that's also a choice. When we get ideas, that's really a point where you can actually choose. Every single idea that you have a choice. Linked to the idea is a choice. So when you get an idea, it's a choice of letting it go and being happy with it, thanking it for coming to knock on your door, but saying, thanks, but not this time. Go to somebody else and play, and I'll watch you grow. That's it. Mm-hmm. But you have a choice also to say, hey, wow, yeah, you're cute enough. I'll play with you. Great. Let's create something with this.
And then keep asking questions of that. Yes. I have that idea, whatever it happens to be, right? Yes. So don't get stuck into it. It has to show up like this. It has to be like,
exactly.
Ask and be in the energy of that creation of something fun. I mean, for me, something light and ease and fun, and what's going to contribute to consciousness, to humanity, to the planet, whatever it happens to be for you.
Exactly. Right?
Choose that. But go from that frame of reference instead of, I'm bored, what can I do? You know, it's like, there's so many things. I can give you so many things to do. So, but if you're bored with, you know, with your life, and I was thinking about this earlier today, so I think my husband's bored. I think he needs a project. It's like, oh, I can give him a project. I can find something for him to do. Right. It just means you're playing small and it's time to create greater. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're all, I think, right now being asked to create greater, to step up and be more of who we are and choose us first, you know?
Yes.
Whereas we were not allowed, we were not given that opportunity, I find, in the past to be us and to choose for us and choose, you know, what's going to be fun for us. But now more and more people are doing that. I mean, I'm a prime example. So, you know, it's like, if you need an example, look at me, right? And it's and that will give you permission to do it for yourself. You know, and not that we need permission, but sometimes, you know, in this reality, you're like, oh, I'm not sure if I can do it because I don't see anybody else doing it. Well, yeah, you know what?
That's probably why. That's probably exactly why you should do it. Nobody else is doing it. Okay, I'll do it. Everybody else is doing it. Okay, cool. I'll do it anyway.
Exactly, because it's going to be different coming from you.
Totally, totally.
Right? And I think sometimes people go to the conclusion of, well, somebody else is already doing it, so how can I do it? And I don't want to steal their thing or, you know, or copy their thing or how can my thing be good when somebody else is already out there? It's like,
well, I mean, you know, it's like when photography became digital and a lot of commercial photographers went into the beyond of and the big lie of competition, you know, now that everything is so easy, there's too many photographers, too few jobs and not enough money. And that's a big fat lie. There's still a lot of money in the industry. And, you know, if photographers think that they can copy each other, well, yeah, sure, you can try and copy. It will never be the same. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to copy, then you're actually limiting yourself and making yourself smaller than somebody else, than whoever you're copying. So copying as an inspiration as a starting point is perfectly fine because if it gives you something to start from, then it's cool, and then you can create something greater, and there is no competition. There's no such thing as competition. We're all totally different.
Yeah.
So whenever we think that we're competing with somebody, we're actually competing with ourselves, and which means that we're actually losing from the start. And there's this concept of winning and losing with competition. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. If you're not competing, then there's no winning and losing. There's just creating.
So, and this is about creating your life. So, you know, create what lights you up. You know, if we're going to use another term, what lights you up, what fires you up? Just choose, just create. It doesn't matter what it is. Just do something, right?
Yeah.
And then from there, keep going, you know? So it's not about create one thing and then stop. It's like, okay, create, keep going and create different things and do what's fun for you and what lights you up, what excites you, what gets you jumping out of bed instead.
Yeah.
instead of staying in bed and saying, oh, why do I have to do this, right?
Exactly. I hear a lot of people saying, yeah, but you know, it's very well saying this, that we have choice and all this, but what about, kids in the ghettos and mm-hmm. kids in poor kids in India, for instance. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of examples of very rich men that actually came from absolutely nothing in India and in Africa.
Yeah.
So one of my mother's greatest friends, she was in several wars actually, because they met when they were in Kuwait before the war started, the Gulf War started. And at that point, a lot of people actually got killed in that war, and a lot of people got put in jail and whatever, she managed to escape, single woman with mm-hmm. kids. She escaped through the border, and interesting choice, she escaped to Lebanon. So from one war to the other. Mm-hmm. So she chose to escape that war as well. And she's now living in Canada. And she realizes that, you know, these choices were her choices. And every choice that she created, she actually, sorry, I've got another Skype call that I have to deny there. So every single choice actually created something greater. Mm-hmm. So everybody, literally everybody, has a choice.
Exactly. And every choice does create greater, or can create greater, yes. if you allow it to, right? Yes. If you're willing to be in the question and continue to ask yourself, what's going to create more, or what's going to create the most, like you mentioned early on, you know, what's going to create the most? Do that, choose that, and then continue. Don't stop. Yeah. Just keep choosing. And then you'll, you know, after a couple of months or whatever, you'll look back at your life and it's like, oh my God, my life is so different now. Look at all the things I've chosen. It's, you know, greater and greater. And what else is possible? And what else can I choose? That'd be
absolutely
fun.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when, just before I divorced from my son's mother, there was a period that I used to call the black period of my life, because mm-hmm. I was going through the divorce. I was going through two bankruptcies of two of my companies. I was going through a lot of beyonds that I thought were coming to me. And, you know, I was playing the victim. Very interesting. And I actually realized after that, and I mean, I was practically homeless for a while. And I lost everything that I had, going from having a lot of money to absolutely nothing, and a lot of debts as well. Mm-hmm. And until I realized that that was actually a choice in itself, because I was not satisfied with the life that I had. In spite of the money and the cars and all this, that was not working for me. I was not creating the life that I wanted, that I desired, not for me and not for my kids. Mm-hmm. So I actually had to create this big drama and trauma that for me obviously was a starting point. And I started from that moment. I actually chose something else. And that's when I found Access actually, mm-hmm. and literally saved my life, because I was, you know, this close to actually killing myself. Mm-hmm. And I chose something different. And within a few months, I made a demand of starting to travel the world again. I've been traveling since I was a little kid, and in that period I hadn't traveled for maybe 2 years. And I made a demand of starting to travel again and visiting places that I'd never visited in the world, and to do all this with photography and with inspiring people. Guess what I'm doing today? A few months later, this company called Profoto contacted me, asked me to be their ambassador. They gave me the name The Light Shaper and all this stuff. And yeah, I visited so many countries that I'd never been to before.
Yeah.
So going from being practically homeless and all of this stuff to earning very good money, traveling the whole world within a few months, mm-hmm. I can actually say that these tools do work, and being in the question does work. And exactly. Having said that, you know, even with these tools, it's not that you discover the tools, you use them, you fix your life, and then that's it. It's going to be good forever. Because I made the mistake. I recreated my life, as I just said. Mm-hmm. And I stopped using the tools. Guess what happened?
Oops.
Oops.
Interesting choice.
Very interesting choice.
But that's it. But if you continue to use the tool, if you continue to choose for yourself with, you know, presence, with allowance, and with being in the question, your life has to change. And so one of the things that Gary says all the time, if you want your life to change, there's two tools: get your bars run and choose.
Yes.
Right? So get your bars run and choose, and then continue to choose and continue to get your bars run.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
it's amazing. I mean, I have one of my best friends who lives in Madrid, and he's very pragmatic in a way, yes, but he's the typical guy that he's an engineer and he has to have everything proven and calculated and put in boxes and all of this stuff, very structured and everything. But when I actually asked him the question, when he told me that he had developed MS, mm-hmm. and I asked him the question why he chose this, I thought he would jump down my throat and say, "What do you mean I chose this? Blah, 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 it just happened." He actually, you know, barriers down and said, "Yeah, well, I guess I chose it. I guess I created this. Yes." And I said, "Okay, so what were you unhappy about?" And, you know, I asked him a lot of questions and it showed up. And as Gary says, that MS is very often related to dissatisfaction in work. Mm-hmm. And he was totally unhappy with his job. He was traveling all over the world, but he loves traveling, but not in the way that he was doing it. So obviously he created this in order to stop traveling that way or having his job that way. And it was really amazing to see a person that is so, you know, the opposite of the tools that we live and create with, to actually choose this and be in the question. And, you know, we just started having chats not so long ago, so I don't know how he's going to carry on choosing, but it's great to see that everybody actually can choose.
Yeah.
These tools are really there for everybody. And if you go into like, everybody else can choose except for me, and I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice because I have this job, because I can't get out of bed, because I do this and that and the other, and I don't create anything. I just have ideas and don't create anything. Well, if you keep saying that, that will just solidify what you're saying, and that is your reality. Mm-hmm. So if you want to change your reality, start by changing your point of view.
So one of the things, just really quickly, that you can start to do, all of you, is, you know, we talked about this earlier, how does it get any better than this? Whether it's something's good or bad, you know, going great or not going so great, ask, how does it get any better than this? And what else is possible here that I've never considered, right? Yeah. And I use those two tools every day, all the time. And the who does this belong to?
Yeah.
And so these tools, you know, we share them on these shows because they're so simple and basic, but they work, right?
Yes.
So, you know, it sounds like a mantra, how does it get any better? Let's say it over and over again until you can perceive a shift in your space, in your energy. Same thing with the what else is possible here, you know, and then just see, just play with it, you know, try it out for yourself. You won't know until you do it, you know, for sure.
Yeah, and one little exercise that is actually the tool that actually saved my life was all of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory, and say it at least 30 times in the morning and 30 times in the evening.
Yes, and you know, I used to do that when I started back up with Access back in July, because I was gone for a while too, and I started doing that every morning, every night, you know, and I would count on my fingers. I'm lying in bed, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how I would do it every morning, every night. I did it for months, you know, and now when I look at my life, even from July to now, so much has shifted and changed. I mean, it's like amazing. It's like, wow, everything, you know, and it's not just about choosing the classes, because I did choose a lot of classes too, but it's about being in the question, asking the questions, and being willing to choose for yourself. You know, for me, it's always about choice. What do I choose? What's fun? What's going to create more, and then go from there, you know? And so that's why this whole series is about the gift of choice, because the gift of choice is that you create your reality.
Yeah. And another thing is that when you go into beyond, in other words, something that happens to you that you consider wrong and that makes you feel like, you know, beyond anything, and you react to it, then ask the question, what is right about this that I'm not getting?
Mm-hmm. Yes. What is right about this that I'm not getting?
Exactly, because sometimes the universe actually shows us things that we judge as wrong, but it's actually things that we've been asking for and not cognitively, and it's actually showing us something different. so a starting point of something greater.
I have to just share really quickly about that, because this is so relevant. Like, when I was in the government, you know, I wanted to leave, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they had this layoff and everything. And it's like, I didn't get laid off. It's like, what? You know, here I was like, I'm wanting to get laid off. It's like, I didn't get laid off. It's like, oh my God. So I started saying, what's right about this? I'm not getting. Right. And I kept saying it. And then I did get a buyout a little bit later. And I realized, oh, this was perfect. The timing was like perfect. I couldn't have left earlier because blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And so when I did leave, it was actually, everything worked out so beautifully and magically. And it was so much easier. But I was, at the beginning, I was judging. I was so upset. I was the only person in the whole government who was upset that I did not get laid off. So I did the what's right about this, I'm not getting. You can also do what's right about me, I'm not getting. If you're judging yourself or something is coming up for you, what's right about me, I'm not getting.
Yes.
Right?
Totally. And it's, I'm so grateful for you saying that about, you know, creating with magic as well. Because if I really look at my life in this body since I was born, it's really like everything has been created by magic through choices. Even those choices that are considered very interesting and maybe even negative at the time, everything happened for... I don't want to say reason, but it is kind of that. Mm-hmm. It was a choice that led to my life today that is actually creating my life in the future.
Yes.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be, you know, where I am today had I not, first of all, chosen my family, chosen my parents of, you know, these amazing parents that actually were in such allowance. I mean, not many parents are in the allowance of allowing their kids to jump off school. especially when my dad, you know, had a lot of, you know, dreams of me becoming a diplomat like him. And all of a sudden, I don't want to be a diplomat. I don't even want to finish my studies at 16. And he said, okay, I see that this doesn't work. So how about this? I see you're interested in photography. I've met this great photographer. Do you want to work for him for free? And I jumped on it. And even, you know, 1 year later, 17, my parents chose to move to Kuwait. And we were in London at the time, and they said, hey, we're moving to Kuwait. And I said, cool, when are you guys leaving? And he said, no, we're moving. You know, we got your job. You're going to work not as an assistant, but as a photographer in Kuwait. And I said, why the hell would I want to do that? Mm-hmm. I'm assisting a fashion photographer in London.
For free.
They said, but you will be getting paid, and they'll even give you a car when you get your driving license next year, and blah blah blah. And I said, first of all, I don't want to go to Kuwait. Mm-hmm. Second of all, what kind of photography? Architecture. And I said, architecture? He's shooting fashion every day. I'm with models. I'm 17, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I want to be in London.
Yeah.
So, and even there, they were in the allowance of letting me choose to actually stay in London and live on my own and sort out my life. And first they were saying, okay, fine, but we'll support you. And I said, no, it's my choice. If you really want to help, I will need a roof over my head. So give me a flat, but for eating and whatever else, I'll provide for myself. Mm-hmm. So I was working in a nightclub after working in the studio daytime. So I was working round the clock basically, but I was having a hell of a time. And creating an amazing life, meeting incredible people, and really creating, you know, this.
Yeah.
And without choice, that, well, it would have been other choices, basically.
Yeah.
But without choosing those, exactly, but without choosing those parents, I would not have this life. Mm-hmm. Without choosing to stay in London and going into, I don't have a choice because I'm 17, because I have to live with my parents until I'm 18 and blah, 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 I would not be here today. Mm-hmm. Without the choice of creating the two bankruptcies and the divorce and all these things, and including the drama and trauma of that period, I would not be here today because I would not have created the awareness that I have today. Mm-hmm. Etc., 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 etc. It's all based on choice.
Exactly. All the good, all the bad, all the ugly, all the interesting, you know, everything.
Yes.
It has brought you to where you are now, to where we all are right now, right?
Totally. Totally. Well,
be in allowance of that. Don't judge your choices, right? Don't judge them. Don't judge you for the choices that you've made or didn't make. Just, exactly. Okay, cool. This is where I am now. What do I want to choose now?
Exactly. And when you go into, I don't have any choice. Well, you are actually choosing not to have any choice. That is your point of view. You're choosing to have that point of view.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Ouch. Oh my God. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, just wow, that is like.
So how many of us are actually chosen or are choosing not to have any choice? So everything that is, we destroy and create it all.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, purple, connections, present, beyonds.
I love that. I mean, I know some of you are like probably angry with us because we're really hitting home the fact that choice creates, right? Yes. I know, not angry, but you know what I mean. But choice creates, and you are choosing every day. And so we're kind of putting the responsibility or the awareness, or giving you that lens to look at. It's like, yeah, you are choosing. So what else do you want to choose? If you're not happy with the way your life is going right now, cool. Choose again. Choose something else.
Yeah.
You can start by making small choices, Caroline. You know, it doesn't have to be the big jumping off the cliff.
Exactly. I will send you what Amanda wrote in the chat in a minute so you can read. But regarding getting out of bed in the morning, if getting out of bed in the morning feels heavy, ask the question, would staying in bed feel lighter? Mm. And that might give you a lead.
Yeah, would staying in bed feel lighter for you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know, it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes, you know, and it's about getting out of the judgment.
Yes. Yeah, do not judge it as wrong.
Yeah, don't judge it as wrong.
Don't judge it as wrong, and really create from, or rather choose from what feels light. Without going in your head, without going into what this reality will tell you is the right choice.
Yeah, so there's a link for the post that Amanda did. I'm pretty sure that's the one.
Yeah.
So you can click on it and look at it. And, you know, yes, I hear so many places doing is something else. Yeah, doing and being and doing and choosing and creating are not the same thing.
No.
You know.
And the main thing is to try and get out of the doing thing. So a lot of people say, so what do I have to do in order to create my life? You don't have to do anything, but you have to be you. Mm-hmm. And there I really mean being you and not being somebody that other people think you should be.
Or all the projections from other people, right? Exactly. Just be you, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. So if you were truly being you, who would you be?
If you're truly being you, what would you be? Oh my God. So, normally before I start the recording, I would say, okay, I'm going to put on my host face now. I didn't do that today. So I'm just being me, you know? So when I'm being me, I don't even know what comes out of my mouth. I know I'm very expressive with my hands and my face, whatever, you know, but it's like, I'm just being, you know, and this is what you get, like it or not, like it or not, but this is me, right?
Exactly. And that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. And that's what we were talking about in the beginning, you know, before this call, Alara, you know, about how when I started doing the private photo sessions, how I'm truly grateful I am for that, because I went out of this stupid point of view of my industry of thinking that some people are photogenic and others aren't. Mm-hmm. Now, instead, I really look at people being photogenic are people that actually allow themselves to be barriers down, totally vulnerable and truly being themselves. As long as I am the same behind the camera. So if both the photographer and the person in front of the camera are bearing down and truly being themselves, guess what? Whoever is in front of that camera, whoever is in that picture, is absolutely beautiful and absolutely photogenic.
And that's the key, the barriers down thing, you know?
Yes, yes.
We tend to keep our barriers up a lot to protect ourselves and blah, blah, blah. they have the image and so on and so forth. But yes. But yeah, having the barriers down, it's not about not caring about what people think or say or project. It's just, you're just being, you know?
I can send you a link, if you want, Laura, to an interview, a radio interview that I did about this. I was interviewed, you know, about being a fashion photographer and what beauty actually means to me. And it's a lot about this. And it's 5 points that I have that I discussed there on what beauty is to me. And it is about finding your own beauty.
Yes. Cool. I'll put that on the gifts page. That'd be fantastic.
Cool.
Yes. And, you know, when we had met in Copenhagen and I had said, oh, yeah, you know, I do interviews. So I'm really good at this, you know, no problem. And it's like, it was so easy and fun. And like, you know, I just talk. My problem with anything is to stop. I have so much to share.
That's good.
But it's the stopping, like, where do I cut off? But, you know, And that's the thing. It's like, you know, with all of us, when we're just being, and thank you, you know, you said you're you, being you, beautiful, happy, fun. Absolutely. You know, and for me, that's one of the, that's so important for me, being happy, being, having fun, being joyful, because I didn't have that growing up. So it's like, yeah, I'm always having fun. And my kids see me having fun and they see pictures because they're not here. And they're like, Mom, you're having so much fun. It's like, yes, I am. It's great. And for them, I think it's important that they see that, because then they know that something else is possible for them.
Exactly. What contribution are you being to them?
Yeah.
And everybody else.
And so sometimes, you know, it's like, I don't always post everything on social media and stuff, but when I do, you know, it's always the joy, because I believe for me, joy is our true essence of being is joy. And, you know, if I can share a little bit of that joy with everybody else, then they might, you know, tap into it and connect to it and search for that joy for themselves, whatever it looks like for them, you know?
Yeah, it's a ripple effect, you know, and you make somebody happy through your joy, and in their turn, that person makes somebody else happy through their joy, and so on and so on and so on. If everybody actually allowed themselves, or let's not be so optimistic and idealistic as the whole world doing this, but if half of the planet at least would choose to be happy and to show their happiness and their joy through their faces, or their, you know, social media or whatever, what would the world look like then? I wonder.
Even in like silly places like Vienna, where nobody smiles, I walk around the city and I'm smiling and looking at people in the eye and I'm smiling. Yeah. You know.
Exactly.
Right? It's fun. Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun.
And that's me expressing my joy of being alive. Yes. and gratitude and acknowledgement for how life really can be this good and how does it get any better.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. And so all the people that had said to me in the past, you can't do this, you can't, you know, really, you know, watch me, you know, or wanting me to settle. It's like, I don't settle, you know, I go for what is fun and joyful and light and expansive. And that's what I'm choosing. So
yes,
it's up to you guys. You know, what would you like to choose? Right.
Exactly.
So this has been fantastic. Oh my God. I know we went over, but this was such a wonderful conversation, Andrea. I just absolutely loved it. And I knew
thank
would.
You, Laura.
So thank you so much. And we will put the gift, Andrea's gift, on the gift page. And so I'll send you the link and the email and so on and so forth. So please do take a look out for that. And thank you to everyone for your questions. And go back and watch this or listen to this again, because there was a lot of stuff. Okay, so go back and watch it again or listen to it again and continue to choose. So until next time, continue to live your life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness, and sending you all much love and blessings always.
Thank you so much, Lara. Thank you so much for this great gift.
Oh, thank you so much, Andrea, and I hope to see you soon, and I'm definitely going to do a photo shoot with you.
Yay!
Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.